So we have some small note here about Gundicha. Everyone remembers Gundicha? Why is it called Gundicha?
It's
the name of King Indrajumna's wife. And that was her garden. And then they made a temple there. What's another name for that place? You've heard of Nilachala? Well, there's a specific part of Jagannath Puri that's called Nilachala. Jagannath Puri is called Shankh Kshetra, Sri Kshetra, Purushottam Kshetra, Durlabh Kshetra, Vipralamba Kshetra, Dasavatar Kshetra. Any other names?
Sri
Purushottam Kshetra. This is a place where Sri Radha, Sri Radhika, is crying in Vipralamba Bhav in separation from Purushottam Krishna. And, right, conversely or similarly, this is a place where Purushottam Sri Krishna is crying for
Radharani.
And when that crying becomes very intense and that separation becomes very deep, then what type of form do they display? What type of form does Lord Krishna, Purushottam Krishna, display?
Jagannath!
And that form of Jagannath is called da-da-da-da-da.
Sri Purushottam.
That form of Jagannath, crying in intense separation.
Mahabhav.
Prakash.
Prakash.
And that form of Radharani in Radhabhav, crying for Purushottam Krishna's intense separation is called... No, that's the state. That's a bhav, is a state, not a form. That form is called... That form of Purushottam Krishna crying in separation from Radha is called... Jagannath. So what is that form of Radharani when she's crying in intense separation from Krishna? What is that called? No. Chaitanya is everywhere, South India everywhere. And just form, we're talking about Jagannath Puri, no? What is the name of that form? Mahabhava Prakash is Jagannath. So the Mahabhava Prakash of Radharani, what's the name of that form?
Kurma.
Yeah. Kurma what? So many kurmas.
Kurma Ru. Mahakur.
Kurma Chaitanya. So what is, who is Kurma Chaitanya?
Chaitanya
Mahaprabhu. No.
Radharani. Radharani in separation of Krishna.
And when she enters into a deep state of separation, what is it called? Mahananaki Mahabhav. And that Mahabhav Prakash Vigraha is called? Kurma Chaitanya. This is one of the four prayers that Lord Chaitanya would offer. Naham vipro nacha narapatirna pivaishyo nashudro naham naham varnina chakriha patir no vanashto yatirava kentu prodya nikala paramananda purna britavder gopi bartu padakamalayor das das anu das. It's all about being nothing but a servant of the master of the gopis. It's all about giving up upadis. Sarvupadi vinirmuktam tatparatvaina nirmalam rishikesha rishikenam sevanam bhakti uttamam sevanam bhakti uchite. That Lord Chaitanya is saying, listen, you think I'm a sannyasi, I'm a Brahmin, I'm born in a Brahmin family, Mishra, and I was famous as Nimai Pandit. I'm not a Brahmin. Well, then what are you? You're a Shudra, you're Agarwal, and Vanya? No, I'm not a Brahmin, I'm not a Kshatriya, I'm not a Vaishya, I'm not a Shudra. Oh, well, but you're a sannyasi. You're carrying egg danda, and you're dressed in with uttari and lungi and appear to be a sannyasi. No, I'm not a sannyasi. I'm not a. Well, then what are you? But you're not. You're wearing saffron color. You're not grihasta. No, I'm not a grihasta. I'm not vanprast, and I'm not brahmachari. Well, then you're a non-entity. You don't have any varna and you don't have any ashram. So where are you? You're in limbo. No, I have some identity. Ai nanda tanda chikim karam patitam maam vishambeva vangvaro kripiya tava pada pankaja stita duli sadri chintya. This is my identity. Stita duli sadrisham vichintya. My identity is that I'm praying to be stuck on the feet of Krishna, like a particle of dust. Stita duli. Like you say, go duli. That is my aspiration. That is my hope and prayer. That I want something. I want service. And service is the expression of love. And that is my eternal nature. My eternal nature is to love Krishna and to be stuck on Krishna and attached to Krishna. So I'm praying to be reinstated in my original position as Krishna's eternal servant. Hey Nanda, hey Nanda Nandan, hey son of Nanda Maharaj. This is my position. This is my prayer. This is my submission at your feet. I've been serving so many worthless masters, and I've been attached to so many useless things, and useless people, and useless enterprises. And now I realize the futility of it all, and I'm turning my mind towards you. I'm turning my attention towards you. So if you kindly recognize me and accept my proposal, then I may get admission into your service. No submission, no permission. No permission, no admission. Somebody was swinging, I think it was Brinda and Keshav.
That's Keshav,
Brinda. And I was thinking, wow, this is Jewel and Leela, Radharani and Krishna. I seen the swing, and they were chit-chatting, and they were laughing, and I was just imagining, I look out for a moment, I was hanging some clothes over there, and I thought, well, this is what it is. This is the reality, that Radha and Krishna are chit-chatting, and they're laughing. And then they were going at different rates, different speeds. Brinda was down and Keshav was up on his swing, two different swings. And then at some point they communicated, come on, you know, we have to keep together. And I was just seeing, well, yeah, it must be, you know, Krishna's trying to play fresh and not keep up with Radharani. He said, no, I'm independent, you have to catch me. And she said, that's not fair, you keep going too fast. Okay, I'll slow down. And then all of a sudden they were both going like this, both swinging together. And then laughing, and I was very much appreciating how beautiful and how sweet and innocent Krishna's pastimes in Braj are. Just like children playing. There is no perversion, there is no exploitation, there is no calculation. What I can, and Brinda's not thinking, what can I get from Keshav? And Keshav's not thinking, what can I get from Brinda? Brinda's not thinking, oh, I think Keshav has a lot of stocks. He has a lot of stocks. I think he has 50% share in Indian Oil. If I marry him, I'll get a lot of money, and then I'll just poison him. She's not thinking anything. It's just they're only existing for fun. This is what it means, Vrindavan. Vrindavan only exists for the fun of God, for the fun of it. We say, oh, what are you doing? I'm doing it for the fun of it. Right? And of course that doesn't happen much anymore, but when you're young you do things like, yeah, what are you doing? We're having fun, and we're playing.
Yeah.
Well, this is what Radha and Krishna are doing. Leela means drama means playing. They're just playing forever, eternally, day and night. Play. Hey, don't you kids ever get tired of playing? Do your studies. Ooh. We want to play. There's nothing. They don't have to go to school.
Because they're eating, Maharaj.
Yeah,
they don't want to eat. They just want to play.
Yeah, because it's Ras. It's Ras, and sometimes they eat also. Sometimes.
Yeah, they didn't force them.
But they like playing more. Yeah. But in Krishna's Leela, even eating is playing. But they consider eating as like, oh, I have to fill the tank. We have to refuel.
That's because they have to eat separately. They had to eat together.
This is very perceptive. This is a very good point. Because the lovers are separated, and then the rust goes down. And they say, oh, I have to go. Really, that's exactly the point. A very good point. That the girl or the boys go home to their... Or two boys are playing in different families, so he has to go to his house. And then there becomes separation. That's painful. And then they say, oh, I don't want to eat this, because this eating is going to mean separation. And so separation means the rust will go down, because there's so much rust. And of course, that's the material world. See, in separation, the rust goes down. But in the spiritual world, the rust goes more. So then they eat together. Vanvihar means just enjoying in the forest. And there's Bhojan, I guess, called Bhojan Lila. Like we say, Bhojan Thali. We went there. We went there in Bhojan Thali, remember? There's little rocks with some little indentations in them. And we bought some leaf plates. And you got a bunch of boxes of sweets and stuff. We bought from Giraj Sweet Shop, I think so. So this is play. They're only playing. And that was such a beautiful thing. Because just in their swinging, the whole Siddhanta of Gaudiya Vaishnava's philosophy is contained there. Just play. No calculation, no exploitation, no selfishness. They're just laughing and talking and chit-chatting. About what? About are they talking about politics? They never heard of it. They don't know about it. It's not in their world. In Keshava's world and Brinda's world, there's no politics. Are they talking about sports? They don't know. What is sports? Are they talking... Nothing. They're just talking about... You're going to... Just each other. And the sky and see... Oh... And they're swinging. Oh, hey, Keshwa, you see that crow in that tree? Oh, let's try to catch him with our feet. Oh, see? Oh, look at that cloud. See that cloud? Oh, yeah, that cloud. Oh, I think it looks like a dragon. No, it's not a dragon. It's an elephant. No, what's an elephant? That thing there, it says a dragon. See, that's a fire coming out of his mouth, you know? Those little clouds. And so, this is like Prajapati. This is like nonsense talk. But for them, it's the greatest pleasure. It's just sharing each other's sweetness and beauty of each other's heart. It's really... I was like, probably went unconscious. Hell no. It's attractive. And we're like wound up in concentric shells of anxiety. You know, concentric shells of anxiety surrounding every one of us, around our minds, around our hearts. We can't ever feel happy. The days of youth are over. The days of innocence have retired, disappeared. Now it's a mean world, very mean world. Big bad world. Cruelty, competition, cheating, exploitation, deficiency. Gundicha.
Oh, you said there's another word for the temple?
Yes. Another name. There's Nilachala. First, we haven't pinpointed what Nilachala means. We had a small diversion there. Nilachala means Blue Mountain. Where is that Blue Mountain?
Jagannath.
No,
no,
what?
No, part of
yes.
The area where Jagannath Temple is
at? Yeah. What's another name for it?
Jagannath Kshetra.
Nila.
Chala.
Nila.
Nilmada.
Nila Dri. Adri. A-D-H-R-I means also mountain. Achala means mountain, so it's A-D-H-R-I. So it's Niladri or Nilachala. And it's a ride, it's a hill there. Kind of, you see, as we're moving around, sometimes we're going up like this in our rickshaw. There's some incline. It's not like a hill like Himalayas or something. Of course, maybe it was millions of years ago. But generally, it's the fashion in India is that temples are on hills. Mangalagiri, Tirupati is on the Tirumala. It's called Tirumala Hills. It's also called Venkateshwara Balaji. It has many names. So if you've ever been there, it's on a hill. And if you go to Nandagram, the temple's on the hill, and Barsan is on the hill, and Unchagan is on the hill. It's even called Unchagan, means uptown. Uncha means up. So or high. So Unchagan means uptown. There's downtown Manhattan, and there's uptown Manhattan. So Prabhupada's preaching was in downtown. Yogi Mishra, his studio was uptown. Park West. Central Park West, 70th Street. So it's called Niladri because that blue jewel, that Ujjvala Nilamani Krishna resides there, Vrajendranandan and Krishna. But then down the road a bit, there's a place called Gundicha. Never represents Vrindavan, and that also is a hilly area at one time. Now it seems absolutely flat. But that was, what was that called? Sundar.
Golden Mountains.
Sun, yeah, right. Sundar Achala. Well, that sun is not golden. It's called Sundar Achala, which means beautiful and also means golden because it's combining two. So that's the place of the golden queen of love. Who's the golden queen of love?
Srimati
Radharani. The golden queen of love. Nice phrase. So that's what we're talking about. It's stated here that the deities of Jagannath, Balaram, and Subhadra are carved in this garden. When you come here, I was here, one Rath Yatra was after, was Nava Kalevaram ceremony. And that's called new body. Every 12 years, generally, Jagannath gets a new body, according to certain nakshatras. It's around 12 years, but unless that particular nakshatra is in place, then they won't make the new deities. On this particular time interval, from the last time they made new deities, about 14 or almost 16 years, somehow the stars and are moving in a funny way, and they weren't able to make a new deity. That was like 1999 or 2000 or something like that. Anavasara. Vas means residence. Vas means clothing. And we say Vrijvasi, he's a resident of Vrindavan, and Vas also means clothing. So Anavasara, the Anavasara ceremony is every year. Jagannath Murti is Daro Brahman, as you know, Daro Brahma. He's made of wood. And then they take the wood, and then because it's the body, then the body has to have nerves and veins and arteries and all these things. So then they wrap the body with all kinds of strings. So these yellow strings that are around the neck. Yeah. So that represents, yellow represents the nerves. Nerves are kind of yellow in color. And then they have red string, which represents the blood vessels. And then they have all these, it's like the body of the Lord. It's transcendental, but they make it almost like a body. And then they cover all those strings, the wood and then the strings and nerves and everything. Then, because covering all our nerves and blood vessels is what we call skin, right? It's like a thin covering of skin. So then on top of that, they put canvas. That's the skin. And I remember one panda, he was selling me some, giving me some different articles for a small fee. And he said, and he had them in a box, and he looked at them, and he said, This is the nerves of Jagannath. And this is his blood vessels, his arteries. He said, and this, and he picked up, this is his skin. Now, of course, the Lord doesn't have any skin. He's such an Anandavigraha. But he was like really excited about it. So I took it, I had that. And that's a piece of the canvas. So, at least materially, they cover every year. That's Anavastra, means new bas, new clothing. The king gets new clothes. Yes, before Rath Yatra. He falls in Snan Yatra, he comes out to give his darshan to everyone again, like Patita Pavan. He stands on the wall, Subhadra, and
the place where you showed us.
Yes, there's kind of that scaffolding of metal and whatnot. It's a support for the dais, a stage where the three deities sit up there so you can get a full view. And it's not a very big attended festival, but it's, you know, by Indian standards, there's only about 80,000 people there. And Rath Yatra is like 2 million or something. And I've seen that festival a few times, Snan Yatra. I've had the opportunity to see most of the festivals, the major festivals, Snan Yatra and Chandan Yatra and this boat festival and Rath Yatra and the Harapanchami festival. They have a lot of Jagannath Bhav, Puri Bhav. So every year this canvas, it's a very funny phenomenon. What's happening is that they take that off. Then they take off all the nerves and everything. Maybe not the nerves, but they take off that, and then they put on a new canvas and they repaint him. And then so Netra Utsav means he gets like the Utsav, the festival of seeing his new eyes, his eyes, and so the black and then the white and then the red around it and then the red smile, and then he comes out for Rath Yatra. But this canvas, as you know, when you do oil painting on canvas, literally it takes about 300 years to dry. At least originally. The original, if you go to these museums, Louvre, whatever it is, in France, and then Metropolitan Art Museum in New York, and any famous Guggenheim Guggenheim Art Museum and different famous museums in different cities. They have old paintings, Rembrandt, Renoir and Rembrandt, and
Van Gogh
and Monet and Monet. I can't remember. It's been a while since I've been in the museum. when you go there, then they give you a tour of the place, and if some painting was some recent artist, they have a modern art or something famous, and then Jackson Pollock or something like that, who used to get all worked up and take the paints and throw paint at the canvas, and that was called in modern art. But he was very expert with colors and balance, and they're quite interesting paintings. Look at them, just look. The paintings look like he just threw all paintings with all. Yeah, like holy. Yeah.
Holy, yeah.
Maybe it was like was in previous birth. He was in India or something. But they were telling that these old oils, at least the old oils they had. They didn't have acrylics, I suppose. The old oil, when they made the paintings, it would take 300 years to dry. So Jagannath, they use these old oils, like some tradition. 300 years, this keeps drying on the canvas. It's not tacky, but like the outside will be dry. If you touch it after 50 years or something, it's not tacky or sticky, it's dry. And but underneath it's because it's thick. And there's
even a painter wouldn't see his own painting fully dry.
Yes. So they paint Jagannath the canvas with this paint. And then he comes out for Rath Yatra and he rides and he gets to Gundicha, where he parks there in front of Gundicha. And then sometimes he stays one night, sometimes two nights, for it has to be Nomi or a particular Titi. And he stays on the carts, he has his bhog offering on the carts, he sleeps on the carts, and then he has Mangalartik on the carts. And at that time, he lets people go up on the carts. So even when he gets there the first day, usually he gets there the first day, sometimes it takes 2 days. I've seen different combinations. So then he lets different people go there, and then they go up. Everyone goes up on the cart, and they go like this to Jagannath. They rub his face up, with their hands, because the paint is still, is tacky. That the red, the black from he has black, and then he's white. Pretty soon, after a few hours, and the next morning, it looks like he's, instead of bloodshot, he's blackshot. His white of his eyes is all black, and looks like mussed up and messed up. And that's how it stays for another year. I don't know what he looks like now, whether it's very white or what.
Clean.
Clean,
precise.
Maybe they clean it off or something afterwards. But I have this book, I don't think I have with me.
Why they do this,
It's just like, I don't know, some kind of Prem Bhav. Their idea of Prem Bhav is sticking their hands in somebody's eyes. But I would never think that's a sign of love, that somebody's eyes are wide open and you put your hands in and rub their eyeballs. I can't, that's why I would never go on the cart, although at that time Western people do go up there. But they embrace him and they rub, it's, anyway, our Gaudiya line, we don't do that. Actually, none of the Gaudiya Math, no one ever goes in the cart. People in ISKCON go in the cart, but Gaudiya Math, because we only approach the Lord for service. This is the conception. We don't approach the Lord for enjoyment. We approach the Lord for service. Oh, did you go in the cart? Did you go in the cart? Oh, yes, I went in the cart. What do you go in the cart for? Just so you can tell people you went in the cart. Oh, I touched the Lord. Well, Lord is touched by Radharani. Radharani massages, or Sridham, or Subal. You have to have that adhikar to touch the Lord. And how do you touch the Lord? Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanena. You touch the Lord when your eyes are coated with love. First you touch Him with your eyes. When your heart is full of love, then you can touch the Lord with your eyes. That's first, and then hands later. But you need a siddhadeha to touch the Lord. The Lord's body is completely spiritual, so how can you touch the... Why would you dare want to touch the Lord with your stool body? If you're a pujari and you're designated and that's your service, then you touch the Lord. But I'm not the pujari of Jagannath. Why I go in the cart? Nobody, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, no Bhakti Vinod, no one would ever go in the cart. I was even there one time and some devotees were there from Bombay. They're all going in the cart and I was taking darshan. Maharaj, come on, you come in the cart, everyone's going. I said, I kept quiet. At least amongst our own followers, we should understand that. We just said, what did we say? Das, das, and das. Well, you didn't go on the cart. You're a second-class citizen. And, oh, you know, my Guru Maharaj went on the cart. Oh, that's pretty good. My Guru Maharaj, he sweeps the street. Different. No, different. Because we have to move according to our conception. We study the tradition, and then we study the shastras, and then we become eclectic. We become eclectic, we become more broad in our input. And then we can modify our behavior accordingly. Is this a nice principle? What is my business up there? Like we have a phrase, we say, there's your business, there's my business, and there's God's business. Right? These are three businesses going on. Three business concerns. So you have your business, I have my business, and God has business, his business. So we should mind our own business. But we're so busy minding other people's businesses that our own business goes to pot. Gauranga. So apparently, well, I was here 1 year, and I was watching, it says here that the deities of Jagannath are carved there in Gundicha. Some note I attained somewhere. But I've seen in that year when they made new deities, every year they make new carts, which is unbelievable. They keep the same wheels, and for 12 years, and then after 12 years they make new everything. New deities, new carts. And every year they make an entire new cart. And the carts are huge. They're 60 feet tall. It's all so much wood. You see, and even they had some motions to, like, in the name of ecology and shortage of trees, can't we, because a cart, imagine you drive a car for 1 day and then throw it in the junkyard. You drive a Rolls Royce down the street, you drive 3 kilometers down the street in a Rolls Royce, and you say, okay, throw this in the junkyard. I said, wait a minute, mate, couldn't you keep it at least for 1 year? No, it's junk. According to Shastra, this car is contaminated. I can't ride it twice. I rode this Rolls Royce once, that's enough. I need a new one. That's so much metal, so much expense. No, this is the rule. So on Jagannath and their Shastras, they have some rule that you can't offer the Lord a used car. And he wouldn't buy a used car from you either. So we should learn from the Lord that as the Lord doesn't buy used cars, we shouldn't buy used cars either. So you can see right on the street they set up some little like canopy type thing out of bamboo, and the workers are right there, chip chip chip, and all of a sudden that becomes, and they have all number, everything has numbers. It's kind of like a kid's model set. Everyone's making different parts, a number 5, and it was like 500 parts in the thing, and the axe, and one guy, and you say, what's that? Because you're trying to figure out what it is, like some deity coming to shape. And every day you're going for darshan, or I used to go over there and buy fruits, and there's a lot of fruits there, and just go and see what. It's exciting. It's really exciting. It takes a few months. They make them a couple of months. Very fast. When I first got there, there's logs everywhere. And then guys were sitting here singing and laughing. Talk, 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 talk. It was like one thing I noticed about Jagannath Puri is it's kind of a very jovial atmosphere. It was. Now, with all this kind of, so many hotels, and I think maybe it's got the purity of the atmosphere will get diluted, but it used to be very jovial, very, very happy and jovial. Rickshawwalas and everyone's just like in a happy mood. Now I see it's changing, because now the symptom of that's changing is the Brahmins are becoming very, very greedy. Yeah, I mean, coming to these places for 30 years, and every place there's a wall, one ticket, 1 rupee. Unbelievable. Baini Hanuman, yeah, there's an entrance fee or something like that. Or no, was there? Yeah, in Baini Hanuman. And that was like a temple out in the sands. I mean, that's like, there was nobody there. There was no Brahmas, nobody there, nothing going on there. Half the time the door used to be closed, and you had to look through and see the Hanuman. Now it's like a 5-star hotel, guest houses on the side, and swimming pools. And it's unbelievable development. It's all not in the cause of Seva Puja, but in the cause of making money. There used to be no Brahmins there, and now there's 50 Brahmins making their livelihood there. But at any rate, Jai Radhe. This garden, so Lord Brahma did the installation of these deities. He presided over the installation. At that time, a yajna is necessary to be performed in the Gundicha Mandir. Lord Brahma told the Gundicha queen, or Queen Gundicha, to remove all her jewelry for the yajna. But Queen Gundicha was very attached to her nose ring, and she hid it in her cloth after removing it. It's considered to be very inauspicious for the husband if the wife gives up her nose ring. What to speak if she doesn't even wear one? What to speak about the red line? Prabhupada, I'll tell you before you hear it on the tape, and then you can think about it. I'll just tell it. Prabhupada says in the original Indian culture, there are different ways to identify personalities, who's a Brahmin, who's what or not, this and that. We said the chaste woman in the Vedic culture, she would always part her hair. It's called Simanta. There's an island in one of the Navadweep islands called Simantadweep. Right? Simantadweep. Godrum Dweep, Samanta Dweep, Madhya Dweep, Kola Dweep. So this is called Samanta, and it's in the center of the head, and the hair would be parted inside, and they would have a beni, a braid in the back. And that would only be opened by the husband. You know, if the lady doesn't have her hair in a braid, it's considered that she's not chaste. This is the traditional Vedic culture of India. But now everyone is in a new bhav. And then the next, that's one point. And this was the culture, Vedic culture. This is the culture up until 1940 in India. Hair was part in the center. Then Prabhupada was saying that a lady who was a prostitute, she would part her hair on the left, like over here, on the left, and she, you know, be left of center. And then when she walked down the street, just by where her hair part was, everyone would know, acha. She might look very normal, not like super fleshy lips or anything, whatever. And they usually prostitutes dress very erotically and enticingly. So they would, just by the hair part, that would indicate their profession.
Wow.
How precise the culture was. Nowadays, when I you can hear, it's on the tapes, you can hear in Prabhupada's folio on his lecture tapes. When hearing that, and having heard it so many times, and I sit sometimes in class and I look and I think, and many times the ladies are, you know, they are like that anyway, you know, they're not chaste. But now times are changing, as they say, and the wind has carried away all the good things in life. So, Haribo. Such is life. You can't turn back the course of history. Right? But this is the old-fashioned ways. In the times of mythology. Everyone hangs down their head. All the ladies hang down their heads. It reminds me once Prabhupada was giving a lecture. And that was a room conversation in Los Angeles to the Sankirtan devotees, and most of them were quote-unquote brahmacharis, 25-year-old brahmacharis. And Prabhupada said, actually, it's explained in the shastras that if a man has been brahmachari, if he's maintained brahmacharya his whole life, you know, continence or celibacy, then very easily, you know, in one life he can go back to Godhead. If someone is a brahmachari, it's very easy to go back to Godhead because he has so much determination, so much good brain power, and it's a good asset. Otherwise, it's very difficult. But if someone is a pure brahmachari, then it's very easy. So then all the men in the audience, in the room conversation, they went... they all hug their heads down in shame. And, oh my God. Like, oh, there's no chance for us. Because who of us is like that? And then Prabhupada saw, he observed that everyone was feeling like a little low. He said, however, by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, anyone can go back to God in this life. If they chant the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna mantra, and they dedicate themselves to the preaching mission of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu.
Devo.
Devo. Everybody sat up again. So This is back to the Gundicha. So now we have this queen who's hiding her nose ring. During the installation, Pran Pratishtha ceremony, which was being conducted by Lord Brahma to install the deities of Lord Jagannath, Lord Balaram, and Subhadra, Lord Brahma detected that Queen Gundicha was concealing jewels, and he demanded her to show them. Understanding that Lord Jagannath's pleasure is higher than any dharma, this is a type of dharma, it's called Patni Dharma. The dharma of a wife is to keep her nose ring. So she was thinking, how can I give up my nose ring? That's my part of my dharma. Gundicha buried the nose ring in the garden. So she was attached to it, and somehow she understood, I should have given it to Lord Brahma when he demanded all my jewelry or whatever. But I didn't. Anyway, I'll leave it here. Pleased by the behavior of Queen Gundicha, Lord Jagannath offered a boon to King Indradyumna. This is an abbreviation. And the king replied, because Jagannath, I guess, he appeared in his dream or he spoke to him or something. He said, I want to offer you a boon because of your wife's pleasing behavior. And then the king said, I want no sons, and I don't want any heir to my throne, because my sons will just fight over the temple property and the assets in the future. So Lord Brahma offered a boon also to Queen Gundicha. When I finish, Lord Brahma offered a boon. When I finish the Gundicha temple, please arrange for Lord Jagannath to enter the front gate during the Rath Yatra and leave through the back gateway where I buried my nose ring. That's called Nag Chana Gate. So when we entered the gate, we entered the main gate. That's the deities come in. But down, further down, there's another gate on the same wall coming out. And it's called Nag Chana Gate. Because I think Nag has something, means something to do with nose. Nag means nose. So that's an interesting pastime. That she was attached to her nose ring and to her dharma. But then she realizes that the higher dharma is to please the Lord. Was kind of an afterthought. And so we have dharma, there's dharma is preached, kshatriya dharma, many dharmas are preached in Bhagavad Gita, but ultimately Krishna says what?
Sarva dharma parityaja mam ekam
sharanam. Sarva dharma parityaja mam ekam sharanam braja.
Aham tvam sarva pape vyo moksha ishami ma
shuchaha. What? Moksha ishami ma shuchaha. Right? You know? Confirmed. We have to surrender all dharmas. And then the Lord will be very pleased and will give you any boon or benediction. And we don't want anything but His eternal service, life after life. Mama janmani jamani bhavatat bhaktir ahoituki toyi. Arisans call the Rath Yatra the Gundicha Yatra. And we say Rath Yatra. Rath means chariot. They call it the Gundicha Yatra. Yatra means, what does it mean? Pilgrimage?
Travel.
Journey. So yatra means journey, and yatris means journeyers, or pilgrims. We would say in English, pilgrimage and pilgrims. The way of a pilgrim. The way of the pilgrim. So they call the Gundicha Yatra, which is very interesting. Just like we say, this is the Krishna Balaram Mandir. What do people call it in UP? Angrez Mandir. What do all the rickshawalas call it? Angrez Mandir. What does all of India call it? Angrez Mandir. You call it the annual Rath Yatra Festival. This is the Gundicha Yatra. He's going from here to Gundicha. Since what's his Rath Yatra? The cart festival. Festival of the chariots. The annual festival of the chariots in Trafalgar Square. So we've been taking Jagannath Mahaprasad, we've been honoring Jagannath Mahaprasad every day, just all the Torah. Because Mahaprasad, Torah says Mahaprasad. Then they go home and their wife's cooking rajma and puris. 10th day, one more puris, rajma! When it comes to bhog, they want to eat the sky. And they want 20 kilos of bhog. When it comes to Mahaprasadam, the Prem Prasad, then they say, oh, Torasadam, I don't want too much of this Prem. This is dangerous stuff. I might become a devotee if I eat too much of this stuff. When devotees go to some Indian's house for a program, they say, Torasadam, I only want a little bit of your bhog. But when they come for the temple, get more. Why do I want to eat so much Mahaprasad? So we've been taking this prasad. So this little anecdote is called Madhurya Bhog. Right? Lakshmi Devi, in the temple of Lord Jagannath, maybe you visited her kitchen, it says that Lakshmi Devi, who is Jagannath is considered actually like Dwarkadish Krishna, or like Vishnu in terms of Aishwarya. Lakshmi Devi is cooking very opulent preparations. Lots of ghee and fried things are fried in ghee, and lots of ghee in the sabji and dal, all for Lord Jagannath. These are very royal preparations, Vaikuntha type preparations, full of Aishwarya. The bhav and mood of the prasad and bhog is laden with opulence. And of course, the cooks, the pandas, there's a group of pandas that do that cooking. Those pandas, the same pandas, they come, they cook over there, and the prasadam has his Aishwarya, opulence mood. And then these same cooks, they come to Gundicha during the 9 days of the festival when Lord Jagannath and Balaram Subhadra stay there, and they're cooking. And they cook for Lord Jagannath for 9 days. They set up a second Anand Bazaar. When you go inside the temple and Lion Gate to the right hand side, there's an Anand Bazaar where they sell prasad. And you can buy, and then when you eat that prasad, you're in Anand. Pet bolo Anande, Vajrada Govinde. They say that. There's one phrase they say. Pet bolo Anande, Baje Radha Govinde. What does that mean?
Very happy.
When your pate is bolo, it's BH, bolo. When your stomach is full, then you can chant Radhe, 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 Radhe Govinda. Right? When your stomach is empty, then you don't say anything. You ever notice, like, because you're living in these rooms, so you don't hear anything. But while you're lying in these rooms near the dining hall, so many, 5 or 10 people go down there. It's very quiet, you don't hear anything. Then they eat. Then after they eat, they come back and then they lean on the wall outside your room, because I experienced it. And then they chat. And they laugh. Big noise. Big noise, and you can't sleep at night. Ask any of these fortunate souls that live over there. So they're doing a kanda bhajan. Willingly or unwillingly. Because I wasn't so advanced. So I had to retire to the back line. I couldn't stay in the front lines, so I retired to the quiet sector of town where I can try to get some sleep. So this is the thing, when they become a little full, then they talk too much or so much. So now this is the interesting point. There's the same Anand Bazaar and the same Jagannath Balaram Subhadra and the same cooks are cooking, but the venue is changed. They're not cooking in the Dwarka Dham. It's considered Dwarka, or the Aishwarya, the temples like Dwarka or Vaikuntha. Now they're cooking in the garden, Gundicha, which is considered to be like Vrindavan. It's considered to be Vrindavan. Although the same cooks are cooking the food tastes completely different than the prasadam coming from the mandir. Here, in Gundicha, Jagannath is in the mood of a child, Balya Leela. Just like Krishna in Gokul, where Mother Yashoda is cooking for him. And she's cooking preparations, many, many sweets from milk and different kinds of cakes. The cooks are also, so they're making, when Krishna, Jagannath is in Gundicha, they make many sweets. Because Krishna likes so many sweets. And of course, they're also cooking the rice, the standard rice and dal. But the taste is much different. It's more sweet. It's more in the Vrindavan mood. Gundicha is the place of Madhurya Bhog. Delightful sweets mixed with the affectionate heart of Mother Yashoda. So somehow, as when all those cooks, I mean, if you go there and see them cooking, or you see the cooks in the kitchen, they certainly don't look like Lakshmi Devi. You know, the
huge belly.
It's like a tether ball. Tether ball for a belly. And his huge big arm.
Hari Bol. Jai Jagannath.
They almost look a little bit like Lord Jagannath. Their arms go inside their chest and everything. So, but it's understood or it's told that actually Lakshmi enters them. Lakshmi Avesh. Lakshmi enters them and Lakshmi is doing the cooking. Because otherwise, how do you explain? They stack up 10 pots, sometimes 15 pots, clay pots. There's rice and water in each one. And they put a fire in the bottom. And the first one to cook is the one on the top.
Same time.
Interesting.
Is that the same time, like, first one and the last?
There's one pot and two. Rice and water, rice and water, rice and water, rice and water. And the pots are sealed. You see the pots, they come here. There's no hole.
Steam out.
Steam out. There's no hole.
The steam goes up.
Up how? How it goes?
Well, the one pot is on top of the other pot, so it's not a vacuum.
Yeah. There
must be some room.
Yeah, but
how does it enter the second pot?
Second and up to 15.
There's clay. There's a clay barrier. This is a pot, and here's an opening of the other pot. There's a half-inch barrier here, so this pot gets steam. Now, how's that gonna? That's common. The common sense is the pot nearest the fire. Fires under this pot, that should be boiling like anything, and that should be like, if this one gets, this one should be the last to be cooked, and all this guy should be totally burned out.
Yeah.
Should be no water left. This is, as far as my brain understands, that's how it should be. Well, the first, the one, let me put it another way, the one nearest the fire is the last one to cook. And they take them off like this. This is called Achintya Shakti, the inconceivable potency of the Lord. Gatana agatana pati yasi shakti. Krishna's shakti, your power to make the possible impossible or the impossible possible. So that's why they say that the Jagannath Panda is not cooking, Baladev Panda is not cooking. Lakshmi Devi is cooking. She can do anything. So now, so Lakshmi Devi is working through these pandas. So, but when those same pandas come here to Gundicha, which is in the Vrindavan mood, the sweetness of Braj, Madhuryadam, Sri Vrindavan, then those pandas become an avesh of Mother Yashoda. So their hands become full of sweetness. And so they make, so they're cooking the same. Now Lakshmi Devi is not cooking the rice and dal, Yashoda's cooking. Yashoda's cooking the rice and dal for her Nanda Dulal. Gundicha is a place of Madhurya Bhog, delightful sweets mixed with the affectionate heart of Mother Yashoda. My Lord Jagannath sits on the carts. Many Oriyan Bhaktas keep fasting because Jagannath is fasting. Sometimes he stays at least one or two nights on the carts. And when he's on the carts, they don't, because I don't know what, but some kind of rule, they can't offer him rice and dal up there. Wow. It's kind of, It depends. I've seen 8 or 9 Rathiyatras. Now there's a new superintendent, they say the cause is, that there's a new superintendent or whatever, somebody in this town, and he's very heavy. And sometimes the deities would come out at 3 o'clock and start the Rathiyatra, sometimes at 2 and 1, and all different times. And people are waiting and burning up in the sun, all the film crews are there. So the material reason that they say is that some new superintendent or DM or whatever it is came in charge of Puri, because this temple is controlled by the government. And they're all under salary plus all the extra goodies they collect. But all the pujaris get salary. So he said the carts leave, the deities come out and get on the carts, and the carts move out at 1 o'clock. And they make it to the Gundicha on the same day. And if not, you don't get paid. So all of a sudden, after that decree was passed, Jagannath was out at 12:30 on the carts and had fastened his seatbelt. Seatbelt was fastened. He actually wears one.
Oh.
And then he was off at 1 o'clock. Exactly. And the last few years I've been here. And then he makes it all the way on one day. And he stays there for one night, sometimes two, on the cart. And the offerings on the cart, I guess it's like picnic style. When you go on a picnic, you kind of whip out and start cooking rice and dal. Usually make bring some samosas. So he has like picnic food. And obviously, conceivably, he can easily make rice and dal as they carry all these baskets everywhere. They could carry the bulk of the cart and offer it. But it doesn't work. They don't do it. So because everyone's like identifying with the Lord, because he's fasting, then they also fast. Even when he's sick, because this Puri is a very interesting place, because there's only one deity for the whole state. The whole state there's one deity, Jagannath. So when he's 15 days, he gets a cold and he retires with Lakshmi and he's recuperating there. And then he's only eating different infusions of teas and herbs and different things and some mild things. All the people eat the same diet. The real bhaktas. Which is thousands, and and then another thing is, when they change the body, like every 12 years they change the body, it's called Navakalevaram, and that old Jagannath, you know, they put him in a well or something. There's some rituals they do, and a new one is made. All the people that have house deities, they also change their deities, and they throw the old deity in the Samudra. That's a whole sacred. But what they do is, when that goes on, all the ladies mourn for 3 days and they cry because the Jagannath that they were worshipping, he died. I mean, it's above, obviously. God never dies, he's never born, he never dies. The soul never born, never died. But they had this idea, because the Jagannath that they were seeing every day, I mean, they go once or twice, the bhaktas, they go at least once or twice a day to see Jagannath, morning and evening for sure. That's why he takes rest at one or two in the night. Some people work late at night. But his hours are such that everybody can see him twice a day, morning and night, even if you have a really late schedule. He has so much prem sambandha with the Puri Vasis, Arisan Vasis. So they mourn. They say, the new Jagannath is coming, that's nice. But our Jagannath, he's no more. So they feel very sorrowful. That Jagannath that we pray to and worship, now there's a new Jagannath. So the ladies, they mourn, they wear a white dress, and then they fast. Because I've been coming here many times. These are things you won't read in books very much, unless someone really gets deeply into the culture and writes about it. I've never seen. These are very, the bhav aspects of their relationship with the deity. It's very interesting. Really interesting. So, Lord Jagannath is not getting any rice because there's an elaborate ritual necessary to offer the rice to Lord Jagannath, which can only be done in the temple, either in a Jagannath temple or Gundicha Mandir. It can't be done on the carts. Jagannath's rice boga can't be seen before offering. Now the Supreme Lord of the universe is forced to fast. Lord Jagannath is eating only... some simple Ekadasi preps, like fruits and dried items, when he's on the cart. Therefore, Lord Jagannath's devotees only eat Ekadasi preps during this time. Once Lord Jagannath enters Gundicha Mandir, because sometimes, as I said, recently he makes it in one day, but sometimes it takes two or even 3 days. He comes out at 3 o'clock. Everyone's waiting. Comes out at 3 o'clock because it's his own sweet time whenever he gets it together, whenever he feels like it. And then he goes. He only goes for 100 meters because he can't go after the sun sets. And he stops. 20 lakhs of people come to see the Rath Yatra, and he goes 100 meters and stops. Okay, that's it, kids. Bye. What? That's it? That's it. He's an autocrat. He's a transcendental autocrat. He does whatever he wants. Which is rather nice. I like it that way. But now, somehow, Jagannath is obeying the DM. It seems that way. Really, the thing is, he doesn't want to cause distress to his bhaktas. Because the DM can conceivably dock the payment, dock the salary. Dock the salary means check. Dock the salary of the pandas. Because he said he'll do it. If you don't come out, they don't leave at 1 o'clock on the dime, precisely, then I'm cutting your 1 month's wages or something. He's quite firm. So then, all of a sudden, he was out of there at 1 o'clock. He left a patch on the side, on the road, a little rubber there when he left. Of course, he doesn't have rubber tires, he has wooden tires, so he left a few splinters, I guess. Once Lord Jagannath enters the temple, Gudnicha Mandir, then the cooks make rice and dal, and Lord Jagannath enjoys. All the bhaktas stop fasting and then honor Jagannath Mahaprasadam. They break their Ekadasi fast for as many days as he is on a cart. They come to Gudnicha, and then they get his rice and dal. So it's a very nice festival. Because I don't know, you've been there when they make these bhog offerings. Apparently, it's a very elaborate rituals they have to do. That's why it takes so much time. You're waiting. You were waiting for darshan the other day. Isn't it? You were waiting because there he's doing a bhog offering, right? So it means they have to wash everything down and this and that and purify the directions and do mudras and yas and big thing. And in a cart, you can't do that because maybe it's not maybe the wooden cart or whatever, but it can't do it.
Before.
Apparently, I don't know how it is now, but because no one should see his bhog offering in the temple. They can control it to some extent because they can push people out of the way. You know, have you been there when they're carrying on a palanquin? Mm-hmm. They're carrying the bhog on a palanquin. Bhog, out, get out of the side. You've seen?
Yes. No,
it's on your heads. But if the cart is out in the open, so the demigods can see, someone in the sky can see, the birds can see. Well, technically, there's no demigods or birds in the temple. You know, overhead, because there's all roof and there's no window, and it's all black and dark. I had read that originally, maybe it crashed out or fell in or something. There was an underground tunnel between the kitchen and the deity room, like direct connection to the. And there's many temples in South India, they have that today still. Because they cook in the kitchen, they go, psh, right, nobody sees. No, they don't have to cover with a cloth and watch out, get out of the way. And because they're very strict, because if the panda bumps anybody, the whole offering is contaminated. Maybe some lady's having her period and she doesn't know the rules and she's in there, anything. But if you just bump anyone, then it's contaminated.
The other day, given the paper, Bombay paper, so that one bhangi went inside.
Which temple?
Jagannath temple.
Yes.
They shut the whole temple and they washed the whole temple out of the room.
Yeah.
They're like, so strict.
Yeah, they follow the rules. These are the rules. So now Jagannath's in the temple in Gudnicha, and he's not fasting, the devotees aren't fasting. No other deity in the material world eats the quantity or the quality of tasty items as Lord Jagannath.
Haribo.
And the quantity. He eats more and more items. All right. 56. Chapan Bhog every day.
Five times a day.
5 times 56 is? I don't know if he eats. I understood that he eats 56 items in a day spread over 5 times. In other words, it's Chapan Bhog, but it's installment basis.